This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:47 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana, Shaoning and Philip. The people of Melaka have spoken, and after 12 days of campaigning, Barisan Nasional returned to power through the ballot box. The coalition secured a two-thirds majority in the 28-seat state assembly over the weekend, with UMNO bagging 18 seats, followed by MCA with 2 seats and MIC winning 1.
Pakatan Harapan won 5 seats, while Perikatan Nasional won 2. Now, leading Barisan Nasional's charge in Melaka was BN Deputy Chairman and UMNO Deputy President Datuk Sri Muhammad Hassan, commonly known as Tok Mat, and former Prime Minister Datuk Sri Najib Razak. Tok Mat made a bold move to field 86% new faces, and not only did the candidates deliver, but it also sent perhaps a message that UMNO is open to change. Many are hailing this as the great comeback for UMNO after a devastating GE14 loss. And of course, all eyes are now on what they will do in GE15.
So for more on this, we have with us on the line Shahril Hamdan, Information Chief at UMNO. Shahril, good morning. Always good to have you. It was a very good weekend for UMNO after the convincing victory in Melaka. What would you say were the main drivers for the win?
Hi guys, morning. I think main drivers don't depart very much from what others have been saying. A very tight narrative around who our CM candidate was and has been proven to be. What the main offerings, the manifesto offerings were, as well as you said, the 86% new faces offering. So I think those three things really combine in a way which convince the public and the people to go for us.
You know, you say a tight narrative over the leadership of the CM, which was Datuk Sri Sulaiman Ali. So was there a unanimous decision by all the BN Aduns over his selection as chief minister? Because we did hear some rumblings that the UMNO chief of Melaka, Datuk Sri Rauf Yusof, had tried to lobby for the post.
Yeah, I wouldn't read too much into that last bit. I think all you have to see is what Datuk Sri Rauf said yesterday. In which he was quite clear that there's no truth to such rumblings. He and the other five division heads in UMNO, as well as the Aduns in their own divisions, all support the CM candidate and the CM now. We've been clear from day one that's what we've been campaigning on, and there was really no alternative to fulfilling that particular specific promise.
Meanwhile, I mean, in this state elections, Dato' Sri Najib in particular played a very prominent role. Is this an indication of things to come within the party and also perhaps at GE15?
I think a lot of people played prominent roles.
More than others, though, Shahril. He was in the papers, he was in social media, he went around campaigning a lot.
He's always in papers and social media, and that's in part because of the media itself and I suppose how newsworthy he is for various reasons. But I wouldn't read too much into that either. Because as you correctly said, the campaign was spearheaded by the deputy president. Other figures contributed as well. It was a team effort. This is probably a common answer. But when you win, and as we did, I mean, I called for not a post-mortem, I don't know what the right term is, but some sort of analysis about what turned out right. But I'm pretty sure one of the things on the top of the list is really how coordinated the whole effort was. And I think it would be a mistake to attribute the victory to, you know, one or two individuals. And really, it was a team effort from top to bottom.
Okay, and staying on this topic, Datuk Sri Zahid announced in his victory speech after the Melaka win that he would implement 4 institutional reforms to stabilise politics in Melaka: anti-hopping recall election, equal constituency allocation funding, constructive vote of no confidence and a minimum term of 4 years. How soon are we going to see all these reforms being implemented?
I think the party leadership and the CM is aware that the credibility of the party is still in question or in doubt among many quarters of the public. So when we deliver very specific reform-based or reformist promises, we are really on the hook to deliver that as quickly as possible. I can't give you a specific timeline, But I can tell you that that's something that the party is riding on. So it's in both party and public's interest that we show we can do that as quickly as possible.
Can I just talk about the credibility of the image? And I think that's why you played out that 86% of new faces in Melaka. So is that the playbook going forward, that freshness trumps experience?
I wouldn't go that far. I think it is it's something that the party has not been known to be doing so aggressively. I think it's fair to say that over its more recent history. This helps the argument. But it's an argument that will continue to be made. And if this can be reflected in G15, I think that bodes better for.
Yeah, because you've got to placate the incumbents, don't you?
Yes. No. No point denying that. But that's part of the terrain.
And what does this victory in Melaka mean for UMNO and Barisan Nasional's projection of GE15? Does this? Do you feel that you have a leg up moving into GE15? And do you think that elections should be called before the constitutional deadline of 2023?
No, really, I think we've got to be really careful about this. And you know, whatever joy and exuberance we may feel over the past 48 hours or so, shouldn't lead us to jumping to conclusions so quickly. I think it pays to be a bit more circumspect and careful before making big conclusions or big bold moves with regards to general. Because I think the factors at play, state elections are very different, very different. We have the experience of Sungai Besar and Kuala Kangsar before GE14. Which really also gave us a shot in the arm, but then turned out to not really reflect what happened in general. In fact, in both seats, we lost one of them. A year, maybe less than a year, after the two by-elections that we won handsomely. So really, we have both history and the particular circumstances of Melaka as cautionary aspects, I suppose, in educating us or in informing us. So I think it's too soon for me to make such a bold remark. It's something that we need to go and study. There's no downside to being a bit careful about these things. If it comes to a point where we think it's good, then sure. But I think 48 hours after the event is too early.
And does this win in Melaka put into question the coalition that exists on the national level with Bersatu and PAS? After all, they are your bedfellows in government.
And also, no point denying that, of course, this past 2 weeks have been a bit awkward. But I think all things said and done, the campaign tone, of course, it wasn't perfect, but it wasn't particularly pointed either, except for particular instances. Depends, I suppose, on which lens you put on. It's also been a good showcase of how maybe mature politics can be, at least in a limited sense, in that while you have colleagues in cabinet or you have colleagues in other state governments, you can compete at a different election or a different space and still carry on working. I mean, I've not seen any indication in the past couple of days or even the past couple of weeks that people were not working with each other where it mattered.
Okay,
I guess that's a good sign.
So, Cheryl, just curious, right? Does it mean that, you know, you can have one coalition at a national level and then different coalitions at different state election levels? Is that what's going to happen in the future?
I'll leave that analysis speculation to you folks, but as you well know...
but you have a say in this. You are one of the parties. I mean, at the moment, you're like the big winner.
I mean, look, it's something that... a lot of things that have occurred this past 3 years have never happened in Malaysia, right? And we're all learning as we go along, really, to be honest about it. Mm-hmm. Not just public, but also the politicians. Never say never. Not something that we really think about. Obviously, ideally, you have the same kind of setup. Ideally, you don't have a jumbled up different coalitions in different states. But you know as well that nothing in the Constitution says anything against that. So while it's not something we think about, obviously, the last 3 years have taught us not to rule anything out.
But you have a negotiating leverage now, isn't it? I mean, this was an emphatic victory. So with respect to negotiations in the future for seat allocations with PAS, Bersatu or the likes, you will be a bit more strident, won't you?
We might, but we also have to recognize, the different dynamics at play. We also have to recognize, and I'm not sure if you've picked up on this, Perikatan Nasional did garner some votes, right? It's not that they didn't win the seats, it's not that they have zero support. So something like this is part of the sort of analysis, the sober analysis that we ought to do. Yes, it was an emphatic win in terms of the seats. Yes, a lot of things went our way, and there's a lot of good or positives that we can take out of the win. But there's no harm in also recognizing different things at play and the strengths of our opponents or people who we ran against in drawing out whatever strategy or conclusions that we might do.
And I'm not sure whether you want to comment, but why do you think that Pakatan Harapan did such a bad job?
Yeah, not for me to say.
I've tried.
Not for me to say. And I'm not one to go on public and hit somebody when they're down. So good luck to them.
All right, Cheryl. Thanks very much for your comments. That was Cheryl Hamdan, Information Chief at UMNO, taking the high road when asked to comment on Pakatan Harapan's defeat.
Although he said they are down. Not one to comment when they're down.
Well, it is true.
It is true.
At the results. It's terrible for them.
I mean, Barisan Nasional won emphatically. I was curious to hear that he did try to distance himself from, well, not distance himself, but he did was very circumspect about Najib Razak's involvement in his campaigning. There is still the question of whether Najib and Zahid, who are both under corruption trials, can actually lead Barisan Nasional back to a national victory.
Yes, and I think he's trying to decouple also that this is not a trigger for bigger things to come as well, that you perhaps may want to have a treatment of it being a bit isolated as well.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.